Well, that's good praise and worship. I think God just loves that. I believe in praise and worship. We have a great team here. This sets the stage for the next half an hour or so. Today, on the back on your bulletins, you'll see a little bit of an outline that I am using this message. That's just part of it. Now, there'll be a lot of notes you can take in between. Now, I'll explain this bottle just a little bit later. Why I have it. It's a good antioxidant, by the way. It's a good drink. It's good for you. It's not lemonade or Kool-Aid or whatever you want to call it. But there's a purpose for this bottle, and I want you to listen why I use it. Today I'm going to talk about why and how. That's a question that many of us ask. If you haven't, you will. And if you have already, you know what it's like. The key word there is the just shall live by faith. There's things we just cannot understand. A lot of times we run into dead-end streets. Nowhere to go except where. The circumstances of life sometimes appear to contradict God's revelation concerning his power and his purpose. When you look at life and you know all that's being covered in our world, you're going to ask questions. You're going to ask questions, what season are we in as a nation? You're going to ask in your own life, what season am I in? Well, if I was a book of chapters of eight, I'm 72. I got one chapter left. So it's good to think about those things. Habakkuk struggles in his faith when he sees men flagrantly violating God's law. That's going on all the time. It distorts justice at every level without fear. A divine intervention. Is God intervening? That's a good question today. Why is he allowing such pandemics to go on? He's sovereign. Habakkuk is a free-thinking prophet who's not afraid to wrestle with God. I've been there. I'm there now, wrestling with God in this last days of my life. What's best the way to spend it? What are you wrestling with? With issues that test his faith. He openly and harshly directs his problems to God and waits to see if he will respond to his probing questions. That's what he does. At some point, all of us, at least part of us have already been there, will question why and how. How's God going to deal with this mess? That's why I titled the sermon, God is Not Surprised. Now, what I have here is a bottle. Now, many of you got good guesses, but I took some pains to measure this, or at least get it as close to being half full or half empty. Now, the statement's been made, and did some stats on it. If you say this bottle's half full, you don't have to answer. You're an optimistic person. If you say this bottle is half empty, you're a pessimistic person. Now, you agree or disagree with it. Both are right, perhaps. But it makes a point. When I got one leg, which I do hurting now, I could say it's empty. But I got one leg that's working very well, I could say it's half full. Well, what I want to share with you a little bit today, God is at work. And I'm going to tell you why. This is many a feud that my wife and I have supported for many, many years. This is half full. Listen to this. Every day, an average in America, 20 every day on average, I guess this isn't in the world, or perhaps America, but 27,000 people explore the gospel on one of the peace with God. They go online every day. 5,100 people includes making commitments to Jesus of following Christ. That's a half full person. Right here, that's Billy Graham's organization. Right here, Wycliffe. Right here's another one. 108 countries, the gospel is being shared and translated to language so people can understand what's going on. Isn't that powerful? 108. I believe in this. If the gospel, as Mark said this morning, that's the only hope we got. This is the only cure to what's going on. Here's another one. Doctors Without Borders. This is a very powerful ministry. I want you to listen to this. Then I'm going to give you some negative things. A half empty. These are all half full. 10,384,000 outpatient consultants. They do this work in 70 countries. 2,638,000 cases of malaria. 1,320,000 cases of measles and vaccinations. Meningitis, almost 5,000 rather. 840,000 patients are admitted. This is huge. This is what's going on in the world, helping people instead of tearing it all down. 400,000 people with mental health conditions. 329 birth assisted, including C-sections, we call them. 76,000 people with malnutrition. 70,500 for HIV. 47,000 people with cholera. Well, I guess I pronounced it right. 112,000 surgical going on. 1,048,000 goes to the emergency room. 16,000 people treated with tuberculosis. 28,800 with sexual violence. 10,000 people treated for hepatitis C. I have one more. Just in our state alone, let me get this right here. Right here it is. This is the negative side. This is the state of North Carolina. This is recently taken a poll at 2019, it's probably increased by now. 3 unborn children are aborted every hour in North Carolina. There's 72 children a day. And when I look at these beautiful little kids that walk in here, I say, God, what is going on? 26,280 children lost every year. Brothers and sisters, we need to read and be up on these things because that's what's going on. Let me share a few more with you. I could preach a whole message on the prophecy this morning. Did a lot of in-depth study. Got a lot of good helps. Here's what's going on in the last prophecies concerning our last days. So God isn't surprised. Increase of wars and rumors of wars. Extreme materialism. Leaving God out all of their giving. Just live any way they want. Lawlessness. Whoa. You can say amen to that. Great growth in population that's going on. Increase in speed and knowledge. Departure from the Christian faith. Intense demonic activity. Unification of world religious and political and economic system is on its way. The absence of gifted leadership among nations, thus making it easier for the Antichrist to come or take over. Universe drug uses, abnormal sexual activities, mass slaughter of innocent babies, I think now 61 million plus. Widespread violence. Does that take you right back to the news as you watch it? Widespread violence? Rejection of God's word. They don't want to hear the message anymore. Rejection of even God himself. Self-seeking and pleasure-seeking, manners of conscience, religious huskers. Mark, you don't do that, by the way. Or Vernon. These are people who advertised material and said, sow a seed of $500 and you get $50,000 next week. They're out there. That's just many, a few outright devil worshipers. False prophets and antichrists. False claims of peace, and we are here. Rapid advance in technology. We're going to ask questions, and we should. And if you look on your bulletin on the back, it will say, the thought for today, God never turns away a seeker or a questioner. He doesn't. Habakkuk is referred to as a prophet, he's a minor prophet. The last prophet before the destruction of Jerusalem. His prophecy was true to his name, which means strong embrace of God. An embrace of God. Does that picture us? For he caressed and comforted his people as one that would embrace a weeping child like a mother until its tears dry. He wants to know why. I've been there. I'm still there, but a different area in my life. Then he asks, goes, Father, how's he going to deal with this? How's God going to sit back and watch all this turmoil in the world, in our culture? It's called cancer culture now. He asked God, why does he allow the designs of evil people to succeed often? Where is his justice in all of this? When arrogant people oppress and never seem to pay a price for it. Look like many times on TV, many Hollywood act like they get away with anything. Nothing ever happens. Habakkuk asked the same questions that all of us many times will ask. You ask questions. Maybe it's a different area. So he said, he sought to make sense of God's unexpected answers. The book of Habakkuk is a dialogue, much like we can in our prayer time or just sitting and listening to God or reading the Bible. That's why it's urgent and important to spend quality time doing that. He was troubled by what was happening in Judah. Aren't you troubled what's happening in America? Or even in your own life, your own circumstances? We know in the beginning of Habakkuk, the man had a burden. Do I have a burden? Yes, I have a burden for my grandchildren. What kind of world are they going to live in later on? I may dodge it, I'm old enough. But how about people who are maybe 35, 40? We don't know how long this is going to last. But it's like a snowball picking up momentum. He was troubled. Her kings had the nation on a downward spiral. Believe me, we're on a downward spiral. But it gets better. You'll leave with a half full. This means count what you have as good first. Look at all your blessings when you complain or you get anxiety or upset. Count your blessings first. Then see what he's done. Just take a little memory journey through your life and see what he has done. When your wife, your spouse went through cancer 4 times. I crawled in great depression, and the worst time in my life was the time I didn't prayer, didn't work, reading didn't work. I just got out in my car, and I just worshiped and praised God for almost 2 solid hours. It lifted. King Josiah temporarily interrupted that spell when he implemented enormous spiritual and moral reforms in the nation during this time. But in Josiah made unwise decisions, one in which resulted in premature death. He disguised himself, went into a war or a battle that he shouldn't have went in. That's us Christians. We make poor decisions sometimes, and they're costly. Even his successor, Jehoiakim, immediately pushed the nation into another nosedive. Habakkuk continued wondering why God would let Judah pursue an ungodly path without calling the nation to an account. People don't want to be calling an account today. How about our nation? How about our world? How about our lives? Evil and justice seem to have the upper hand in our world. It's a lot of coverage. But they don't cover these good things that God is doing in our world. Because Christians don't want to boast about that. I don't want to boast about that I contributed. He's been some 30 years now, let alone the church. But I know evangelism, winning the lost, and getting God's word into people's hearts, and deal with hunger and poverty is at Jesus' priorities. It is. Study his life. I've done that numerous times. And healing. And healing comes by all the great physicians and doctors and facilities that we have today. He gave my two sons brilliant minds to deal with cancer. Who gave you that mind, Eric? You got to be smart to do that. And you got to be dedicated to do that. And you got to be disciplined to do that. Along with all your other gifts that's in this church. You ever complain? Well, that's okay. Did you know this minor prophet did that? That'd give us a right to go out and complain, but I complain. Anybody else complain? Get them up. Oh, it'd all be all over the place. Vern, you never complain. Oh, my back's hurting me. That could be a form of complaint. Hey, get it. I'm not making it hard on you. I'm just saying, get them both up. That's better yet. Get them both up. Well, you can stand if you like, but what I'm saying is, this prophet of God's actually conversated with God, and you're going to see it here found in Habakkuk. Turn with me in your book, Bible, if you have them. I'm going to read a few verses. Many times we as Christians, I feel angry and discouraged. My brother always said if he didn't complain, he'd bust. I don't know, maybe it makes us feel better. First, in chapter 1 of Habakkuk, it's almost the middle of you, closer to the New Testament. It's a small book, but it's powerful. First, you see in verse 1 the burden with Habakkuk the prophet did see. He saw a burden. Burden does not necessarily mean it's anxiety. Burden teaches us to pray. Burden teaches us to seek out counsel and wisdom. Burden helps you look at people who can help you in your problems in life. We do that to doctors and psychiatrists, teachers, builders, whatever we need for our burden. But this man says, I'm going to go straight to God. Sometimes we bypass that one. And we can't. Our nation is not going to fix this. Oh, we put Band-Aids on it, but it's much bigger than what we think it is. It's bigger than that. This is an all-out war of good and evil in our world. Then he says in verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry? Thou will not hear, even cry unto thee of violence, and thou will not save. He's telling God all about what he's not doing. Why does not he show me iniquity and call me to behold grievance, for spoiling and violence are before me? Whew, it's all over the place. What does it do? Many times our conversations can get long about what's going on instead of really seeking God. We got to get that in reverse. This is what this writer is telling us. He talks about strife and contention. We got a divided nation. And the Bible says a house divided itself cannot stand. There are some good divisions are important. It's checks and balances, we call them. Therefore, the law is slack. It's not doing any good. Judgment doth never go forth. Nothing's happening. But then he goes down in verse 5, God's first reply. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard him wonder marvelous, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. God was giving him a vision. We will die spiritually if we don't have visions. We've got to keep that focus. I have never, ever, in our leisure times, and we don't need to be so serious and non-focused, just kind of happy-go-lucky, but there are times we have to be very, very focused, and he was. So the first complaint, why do you not judge this ungodliness of Judah? Why does God allow a birthed Christian nation in America do what it does? But at the same time, this nation is one of the greatest giving, compassion nations there is. They run side by side. Now you see the second complaint. Art thou not everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained him from judgment. O mighty God, thou hast established him for correction. He sees the warning here. He pleads his case before God. Why? Because he began to see that God was going to see the Babylonians, a more working, wicked people, to come in and crush people or hurt people who are not as wicked as they are. He couldn't understand this. Doesn't make sense. He says in second complaint, how can a just God use a more sinful people to judge a less sinful people? I won't read all the verses. I don't have time. Then God's response were, I got this covered. I got this covered. Babylonia will be judged as well. Now Habakkuk's response in chapter 3, I'll jump in there a little bit, express a devout trust in God. Habakkuk confessions of praise, which is part of healing process. He used this in public worship. It was adopted as a hymn in the temple worship. Wow. I like this part. In Habakkuk 2:1-4, the prophet talks about standing upon his tower. Now, often used by the prophets to show an attitude of expectation. What are we expecting out of all of this? Doom and gloom? Or he's in control? Stones, watchtowers were built on city walls so they could, the watchmen could see people of enemies and messengers. Approaching the city wall still at a distance. This thing is still at a distance, so we're watching this wave of evil and corruption and disobeying God go on. They were also erected in vineyards to help guard the ripening grapes. Now here's a, really you could sum it all up in this. Habakkuk wanted to be in the best position to receive God's message. Now what did he do? I could step away from the mic, but they're being recorded, but I'll do that for a moment. He steps way up in his tower and he looks over it all. What's the point? Why did he go up in the tower? He says, I will watch and see what he will say to me. I remember one of my experiences going to a high security prison with 17,000 inmates. I preached in there in the chapel. It was packed wall to wall. 45 people that day made commitments. They had a black group, some powerful singers. They set that stage just right, just like our worship team does. But when I went in that, I had to go to a 2-hour orientation to look for how they could attack you. They showed us all kinds of stuff they make out of spoons and paper, even products to actually kill you. Once we did that screening, they let us in. But while I was going in the gates, it's security, it's gate. It ain't no one single door like that. It's gate after gate and guards taking us in, let alone when I noticed the outside. High fences with barbed wire tilted to the outside so they couldn't climb in. But even more so, at many distance around this place, as far as I could see, they had these towers with prison guards with guns looking to should anyone break out. What about the tower? A few notes here. I got a little help with some of my commentaries, and I love good tools. building tools, but God gives us a lot of help in this journey. I got a good source of them too, Mark. It puts it this way. Those that expect to hear from God must. They must withdraw from the world and get above it. That ain't easy to do, but it's necessary to do. They must raise their attention to it. Pay attention. They need to fix their thoughts on it. They need to study the scripture and listen to what it's saying. Consult experiences. Continue instant in prayer. That's a good formula, which we must practice and do if we're going to be effective. He's standing on a tower, shows his patience. That's not my gift. I suppose it's not many of yours, maybe sometime. His constancy and his resolution. He will wait the time and weather the point as a watchman does. He will have an answer. He will know what God will say to him, not only for his own satisfaction, but for those who bring the message to enable us to give satisfaction to others. My sheep know my voice. David, you might like this if you alert back there enough, but this is good because I know he loves to shoot his arrows. But before I give you that verse that David wrote, actually David wrote this now, I want you to hear it, that's why I use your name, but I know he's good with that bow and arrow. Here's a little statement made. I don't know where I picked this up, but it bears repeating. Whenever we are tossed and perplexed with doubts concerning the methods of God and tempted to think of it, fate or fortune, not a wise God that governs the world or the church abandoned, God's covenant with his people canceled. We must not give way to our doubts. But David said he would direct his prayer to thee. He will look up after his prayer as a man does after his arrow has been shot. Don't you like to know where the target is? This David was saying he's going to watch God take care of this. Now let's move over into Habakkuk 3. We're getting close to closing here. My King James Bible says he prays for God's mercy. Oh, do we need mercy as a nation? In verse 1, Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shagonah, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of these years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath a warning. Show us your mercy. But I like to conclude in the last three verses. I'll read them here shortly, or two, last two especially. It's some of the most beautiful expressions of faith in the Bible. It conveys the message that God's people in Judah and all God's people of every age and nation, we need to hear, regardless of what happens. He says in verse 18 in chapter 3, yet I would rejoice in the Lord. I would join the God of my salvation. We got our salvation. We're secure. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hand feet, and he will make me walk upon my high places, the chief singer of the string instruments. What does it mean to us? Bringing our deepest concerns to God. There's a lot of good help out there, but the first resource is God, and seeking him may lead you to that. God hears and answers. He was disturbed by what he did not understand. There's a lot of things I do not understand. Just look at our world. Look at Afghanistan. Look at Haiti. I got no answers for that. or this pandemic that's coming right back on us again. I got no answers for that. A lot of people suffer. It's hit one of our kids in our home, and some of you have been affected by it. I got no answers for that. And sometimes we just don't have them. But what happens is, as he goes on to say, God hears. That's one of your notes. He was disturbed by what he did not understand. So now go ahead and complain. Seek God. Fuss at him a little bit. You might as well. He knows your thoughts before you even say them, so just tell him. Now behave in a good manner when you do it, but God never turns away the questioner or the seeker. I hope you are a seeker. And I hope you ask questions. Philippians 4:6-7 encourages us Christians to bring every concern to God in prayer and enjoy the result in peace of God. The peace may not always mean we're without problems or turmoil. The peace that I know I have in Him, I'm secure. The author of Hebrew pushes us out a little bit more. He advises us to come boldly. Don't come half-hearted. Don't be a bench warmer. I couldn't stand sitting on the bench, but it's okay. There's a lot of people on the bench. I had to be on the bench. Some were better than I were. That's a different story. But when I'm in that game, you're going to get all of me. That's what he's telling us. To God, obtain mercy and find grace. He finally got to the place that many of us are or may be sometime. Even when God did not give him answers, what did he do? He praised the Lord. It ain't easy to do. But sometimes it's a must. I tell you, before I sit down and play a closing song as a prayer for you, this is a true story. I almost called Mary Esther, Margaret, rather. And I said, I want you to do this song at the end of church, sometime. I didn't call her. I wanted the song sang, Trust and Obey. She did not know this, but she's going to be, the group is going to be doing it, right? Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Yeah, that's it. Trust in Jesus. Thank you. He did not like the way his world was shaping up. I do not like the way America is today. He invents in Judah's history, his nation, he was troubled. What are we troubled about? We must all grapple with this question. Took shelter in God himself to be thankful and joyful. Faith grows stronger when we deliberately release our anxieties and remember the Lord is our strength. His plans are best. No matter how unreliable life may feel at the moment, our past, our present, and our future belongs to Him. Back in 2:3, the prophet tells the people that if they hold fast to their loyalty, God will see us through. What a promise in his present situation. Rather than pray, I'm going to sit down and play this song for you. I hope it'll be your testimony, because it's essential that we walk closer to God every day. I want you to listen to the words. I'm going to treat it like a prayer. And I want you to listen to it. If you bow your heads a moment.